She has served in the armed services of our country, but even more importantly than that, she serves on the front line of saving babies. We started marching in the March of Life, and we said, well, you know, this does a little bit, but we're not sure how much it does. She's going to tell you, and when I first met her, she has one of the most positive ways and things that she is doing to help solve this crisis in our nation. I'm going to let her talk to you about it. God bless you.
Good morning. I'm just going to use my papers just in case they're my, you know, security blanket, but I really don't need them. I am Lori Sines, the executive director of the Hagerstown Area Pregnancy Clinic. We recently changed our name from clinic or center to clinic, and we did that because it reflects who we are, because it'll give the needs to someone facing an unplanned pregnancy. And so we are a medical clinic because women need the answer to two questions before they make the choice of life, the choice of abortion, or the choice of placing their baby for adoption. And those two questions are, am I pregnant, and do I have a viable pregnancy? And so we can answer those two questions. And we offer those services at no cost. And I know that may seem kind of strange, but the abortion clinic in Hagerstown, you know we do have an abortion clinic in Hagerstown, right there on Washington Street, right next door to Widmeyer Driving School. They opened their doors in 1979. They've been in our community for 38 years. For 38 years, they've been, is it all right to come down? Okay, I don't know. I feel like so far away. I guess I can't. Fred? Okay. Okay. Whew, that hurt my ear. 38 years they've been in Hagerstown. Now, I was not in Hagerstown in 1979. I was still in Michigan. I'm a Michigan native. I was just starting high school. You know, Pastor was talking about Keith Green. Are we showing our age when we know who Keith Green is? Oh my goodness, but he did have some good, powerful words in his music. But I was in Michigan, so I don't really know what was going on. Anybody here in 1979 in Hagerstown? Were you here? Oh yeah, a few of people here. Do you remember when that opened? Did you even hear about it? Did you know about it? Isn't that something? So now 38 plus years, abortion in Hagerstown. In their heyday, when they were open 6 days a week, they probably performed, because there's no mandatory reporting in the state of Maryland with the numbers of abortions performed. But at the height, they were probably doing about 2,000 abortions a month. Now they're open 3 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And each month, they're down to about 600 a month. So today, Sunday, Saturday, they were open, and they performed, we know that they performed 8 abortions yesterday. So just in this, just in Hagerstown alone, in these last 38 years, we've estimated that probably over 42,000 babies have been aborted in our community. 55 million. Pastor, 55 million throughout the United States. We don't even know what that is beyond our borders. And yes, we did have the March for Life on Friday, and Pastor and I were talking beforehand that what a week. I mean, I'm not going to get into politics, please, but it had been a great week for the pro-life cause. Because we did at least have the president speak out about the March for Life, which has been going on for 44 years. Every year since then, thousands of people show up in the streets of Washington, D.C., and you would never know that. There was a year that there was a snowstorm. This was about 20 years ago. There was a snowstorm. The permit had been canceled 20,000 people still showed up and walked the sidewalk. Oh, that was one. Pastor was at that one. Thousands. Too cold, lost the permit, and they still marched. So it was a great week that we had the vice president and the council to the president actually speaking at the March for Life. The pregnancy clinic now was opened in 1984. The Hagerstown Bible, it's still a ministry of Hagerstown Bible. I think we're probably the only pregnancy clinic in this. There's another one that it still falls under the authority of the church. Most are their own separate 501(c)s, but we still fall under the authority of the church. In 1984, the Hagerstown Bible Church said, what are we going to do? I mean, it's all fine and dandy. We can walk, we can speak out against abortion from the pulpit, but what are we going to do? And so a Sunday school class decided to do something, and in 1984, they opened the Crisis Pregnancy Center, which is now the Pregnancy Clinic. In 1984, I was still in Michigan. I was not a believer. In fact, I was pro-choice. So I find it kind of ironic that all these years later, that what I was in 1984, having debates with my mom, Mom, you should not, it's a woman's right to choose. Lori, I'm pro-life and you're not going to change my mind. So that was the end of the discussion. Fast forward to about 2005, 2006, my mom is sitting at our very first fundraising banquet. I had just got up talking about the pregnancy clinic and she leans over and she goes, do you remember that conversation we had all those years ago? Just like parents to bring stuff up like that. That's all right. But in 1985, I met Jesus. So it's amazing how the scales fall off your eyes when you recognize the sanctity of human life within the womb. And so for these last few years, that's what I've been doing. Our clinic has been there to offer the choice of life to girls, women, and families facing an unplanned pregnancy. And in fact, a young girl that came in, Sarah, the name has been changed, I'm not actually telling her. Sarah came into the clinic, she'd already had two children, and she knew she was pregnant, and our pregnancy test confirmed that. And she was like, there is no way I can afford to have another baby, not married. She's already struggling to take care of the two. And she's up front, I can't do this. There's absolutely nothing I can do. I cannot do this. And so sure enough, we provided the pregnancy test. We did the ultrasound. You could see her baby on the screen, little 8 weeks. Women, you if you've had an ultrasound, you know what that baby at 8 weeks. That you could see that little heartbeat fluttering, you know that you all know that sound. And it's really awesome to hear and see. And it was because of that ultrasound, because we started offering these medical services, that Sarah turned from abortion and chose life. And thank you. And I think of the couple that came in about 3 months ago. I'm going to preface this, that this couple is in church. They even supported their pregnancy clinic in their town. And the sidewalk counselors in front of the abortion clinic, they had set up an appointment there. This couple did. And fortunately enough, they were able to direct them to our doorsteps. And as we listened to their story, they were totally caught off guard with this pregnancy. There were some health issues involved. There was a loss of job. There's fear. And isn't it amazing how much fear often drives our decisions? Fear of the unknown. You know, as a recent widow, I got lots of fears. And what I hope is that my trust in Jesus won't cause me to stumble and believe the fears. But fear does cause us to do that. And so as we did the ultrasound and we saw her little baby on the screen, 7 weeks in the womb, and again, you can see that heartbeat just going, looks like 100 miles a minute, but it's not. And as our staff continue to follow up with them and talk them through and get them to their doctors so they can see what's going on, get the medical facts that they need. And this couple is choosing life. And they're almost embarrassed that they were thinking that abortion, they had scheduled the appointment at the abortion clinic. And this Christmas, we received the Christmas card with all the other children that they have. And they are choosing life for their baby, and their baby will be born in about a couple months. And the amazing thing is that through your support, these are the jewels that you're laying the foundation for. With your support to the pregnancy clinic, you are part of those joys and those babies that we are seeing saved from abortion. But more importantly, you're part of us being able to speak truth into the life of these girls, women, and families coming into the pregnancy clinic. And in fact, you're helping to change the legacy of abortion in Hagerstown, because the reality is abortion has been the only thing that's lasted in Hagerstown. I mean, the railroad's gone. Well, Mack Truck is still kind of here, right? They're Volvo now. I'm not from here, so I don't really know. But just in the 20 plus years I've been, if you go down Main Street, all the businesses that are gone, but yet the only mainstay has been the legacy of that abortion clinic. And that is a sad thing, because you do know that yesterday, eight babies, all eight generations were lost that yesterday. Eight generations. When you think about that, a generation is represented by those babies, and they are gone. And what is even more sad is those women that will have to live with that. And I've heard all the arguments. I've heard them all about how it doesn't impact a woman when she chooses abortion. And we all, those of us who are Christ followers, we know that that's not true. God created women to bear children. It's natural, it's part of who we are, and when you take that unnaturally, it's going to have an impact on our lives, one way or another, and there's thousands of women who can attest to that now. We are approaching that, we are changing that legacy, and we are approaching this whole issue of abortion with love and compassion and truth. It's not just for our city, but it's for our God that we're doing that. I don't have stats up there, but I will tell you I love stats because I'm a director and we love numbers. We did do over 260 pregnancy tests, and we did do over 160 medical services, meaning ultrasounds, last year. 92% of the women who were choosing abortion turned from abortion and chose life as a result of the ultrasound. Ultrasound is, thank you. You're clapping for yourself because you all are involved in that. So thank you for that. It's amazing how the use of the ultrasound changes things. But I'm not going to give all credit to the ultrasound, because if that ultrasound machine was just sitting there without our nurses, without our staff, speaking truth. You know, the word talks about that you have to speak the word for them to understand. And so speaking the sanctity of human life to that woman is so important. And that's what our nurses do. They speak life as they're showing that baby within the womb. Last year, we added 144 babies to our Tree of Life. And I think that mentions that in your bulletin here for the sanctity. Those are moms whose babies turned from abortion and chose life, who came through our doors. Is it okay to talk sex? Okay. We're in church. I'm not sure. My husband and I used to get into some interesting conversations, because I would come home from work and I'd say, oh man, we had this girl come in. She is all freaking out. She is pregnant. She doesn't know what she's going to do. She's like 18. She just graduated from high school. And We did the ultrasound, and she's so confused. She can't tell her parents because they're going to kill me. And all of these frustrations. And then he would go, well, Lori, you know, if they just didn't have, you know, sex, this wouldn't have happened. And I'd look at him and I would say, excuse me, but there was another person involved in this conversation we're having here. And 99.2% of the women walking into our center are not married. The couple that I spoke of is unique. We don't have married people coming in. It's nice when we do, and that they want to be pregnant and we get to share in that, but 99.2% are not married. And so when I would say to my husband, I said, Arn, I said, you're absolutely right. She should not be having sex. She bears the greater mark. She bears that because she's now put her reproductive system at risk because, you know, she doesn't know who this man has been with. She now bears the responsibility of carrying this baby to term because most of these men do not stay around. They don't. And so now she bears the burden of raising this child alone. I said, but the problem is God ordained marriage for a reason. He ordained it so that this baby, if they have a baby, would fall under the protection of that marriage. And I said, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure there's an example of a man, I think it's in Genesis, who was being tempted and fled. I think his name is Joseph. And so I said, if these men did not touch what was not theirs to touch, then there would not be an unplanned pregnancy. That's true. And I believe in the scriptures when you're talking about a marriage situation, the man is the high priest of that home. Well, we didn't have that. Seriously, men? And I love that we had all these babies up here being dedicated unto the Lord. I love that. I remember when mine were little. Now they're old and annoying. But two of them are out of the house. Yes. That's it. Now they're good men. They're good young men. Still need a lot of prayer, though, because they're doing some things I don't like. But, you know, oh, believe me, I'm on them. They know where I work. So anyway, these babies are being dedicated. And so, yes, men, I'm speaking to the men in the church, and I don't mean to point. I'll do this. In the army, I pointed, you drop. But I'll do this. It's unpolite. Men, it is your responsibility. You made a commitment to these babies and to these families to help raise those two young boys. There's one girl, right? Emma Lynn was the little girl. I have all boys. It is your responsibility to speak truth into the life of those young men, that they're not to touch something that doesn't belong to them. And if they didn't stand at this altar and say, I do, they're not supposed to. I'm not negating the responsibility of the woman, but it is on the men. And so, men, I mean, Pastor, I've seen them all raise their hand and put the prayer on them. So please help these families. It's not easy. In a culture of death. We literally live in a culture of death. Have you been on Facebook lately? That March for Women? The main focus was about abortion, as if that's all women are about. Come on, no. No. Women, we are strong. We've changed generations. We've changed where women can now have the right to vote, where women can be educated and own property, and we reduce it down to our reproductive system. We are so much more. Men and women, rise up, and this church is doing it. They're helping us. They're coming alongside us. Not only are you helping us to save babies, but you're helping us to share the truth of the gospel, because women need to turn that fear into confidence when they're facing that unplanned pregnancy, and you're helping us to do that. Thank you so much. the babies that you've seen, all these names that have been coming across the screen, our babies over these last 30 years that have been saved from abortion. There's over 1,700 on there. That's pale in comparison when you think of the number of abortions. And those are the babies that we know of. But those are the jewels in the crown of the church. And I think Jesus is going to be pleased with that. But please, we have to continue speaking the truth. Talking about abortion is not easy. Neither is sharing the gospel. But in this politically correct society, it is so hard. People ask me, well, what do you do? I work at a pregnancy clinic. What do you do there? We offer pregnancy tests and ultrasound. For what? For women who may be considering an abortion, and we hope that they will turn from abortion and choose life. Oh, I see, you're one of those. Guilty. So thank you, New Life, so much for helping us to stand in the gap for girls, women, and families facing an unplanned pregnancy. Because of you, you're helping us to see babies born and women born again. Thank you so much. Does anybody have a question? Because I could talk about this all day, but you really don't want to hear that. Does anybody have a question or anything about the work that we do there? Did I cover that? I mean, you all are familiar with our ministry, but I missed out coming last year because of that crazy snowstorm. Thank you, no snow. But does anybody have any questions? That's it. No, we don't. And I'll tell you why. Because most of the reasons that women choose abortion have nothing to do really with finances. Most of the women that are going to choose abortion, it really is either a family member or the boyfriend is pressuring them because they just don't want to have the baby. There are many public services available to the women, and we can absolutely refer them to that. But we want people to understand that the sanctity of life is not dependent upon the resources available, that life is valuable because God said that life is valuable. So not that I'm, there's other agencies within the community that do that, but I want to reach that abortion-minded woman, and we're doing that. 65% of the people who walk through the center have never been there before. So in a population in that age group of childbearing that's reducing, they're coming to us. They're coming to us. So, and that's who I want to target. And the opportunity for diapers and those material assistant things, those don't draw in those abortion-minded women. So we partner with Valor Ministries, who offers those services so that they can get the mentoring that they need, and we can continue to focus on that abortion-minded woman. We are at 109 West Baltimore Street. We're two streets over from the abortion clinic, corner of Baltimore and Summit, just down from Community Action Council and the old newspaper. No, we were never over there. We've always been on that corner. Years and years ago, and it might have been open for a very short period of time, someone had told me. There's been all kinds of whether or not we should be closer to the abortion clinic or not. There's a pregnancy clinic in Annapolis right now that they're right across the street from Planned Parenthood, and they really haven't had that much of a difference in reaching those girls who are, it's such a hard mindset. Those women walking up. Right. Yeah. And we have the sidewalk counselors that are out there that know about us. And I will say, 25 years ago, the Crisis Pregnancy Center was kind of new. And I'm amazed at how many people didn't know we exist. We now have over 40-plus churches involved in the pregnancy clinic ministry. When I took over, there were five. Because the churches, like Pastor Ken said, they don't want to talk about abortion. The mainline churches, when I tell them what I do, I partner with them, a lot of different agencies, I can't go talk to my congregation about abortion, it'll divide. And I'm like, well, Pastor, you got to decide who you serve. So I get free space where I'm at. And frankly, I don't get enough money. I'm fighting a multi-million dollar industry of Planned Parenthood, and my budget's $216,000, and I pay my staff not what they're worth, but what I can afford. And so, and when you think of all the different things that we do to advertise, to have people come in, this generation, which I kind of like, they love the internet, so it's kind of cheap now, advertising. You know, I can go on the internet and they find us right away. So, I'm glad that you found them. No. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you didn't go through the abortion clinic. The question was, how many people choose adoption? We present adoption all the time to those girls. In the 19 years that I've been at the pregnancy clinic, three. Three. The number one deterrent from a girl choosing adoption as to abortion or parenting, you want to guess who that is? Her mama. You can't give my grandbaby to another person to raise. Number one person that will turn that girl from choosing adoption is the grandmother. Grandma. We have to get a different view on adoption. We're adopted. Praise the Lord. We have to get a new view. Adoption in of itself is not difficult. It is expensive. It is expensive. And there's not a lot of babies to go around. Attorney fees, it's probably legal, medical, a lot of this, housing and stuff like that. So adoption is very expensive. I would love to see the cost of adoption go down. But hopefully, it can be done though. It can be done. Adoption, even if, I have friends who have adopted babies, so I wish it was more, but I don't know why. Any other questions? I do want to speak to one last thing. I've been a believer for a while, and I've been sharing the ministry for a while. 55 million plus abortion, and that's only because of, the only reason we know that is because of some of those that report. We don't, like I said, Maryland is not a mandatory reporting state. That means the abortion clinic in Hagerstown is not required to report to the state the number of abortions they do. So we really don't have any definitive numbers except for the ones reported by Planned Parenthood through their research. I am not naive to think that abortion is not in the church. That's about 1 in 3 women is estimated. And I'm speaking to the ones who may have chosen abortion. I'm speaking to the ones who may have driven someone to the abortion clinic. I'm speaking to the man who may have pressured a woman to choose abortion. There is hope and there is healing. There is no room in my hand for any stones. I know that Jesus paid for my sins, past, present, and future. And he can do the same for you. You will find no judgment from me, anybody on my staff, or from Mercy's Call, who can provide you healing. And if you are still carrying the burden of that choice, whether it was made last year, or for some of you older people who who got rid of it discreetly all those 40, 50 years ago, there is healing. And you're more than welcome to see me, email me, and I can direct you in that place for hope and healing. Thank you.
I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform, if you would. While they're coming, there's another thing that I want to share with you this morning. One of the things that the Hagerstown Area